Amen and amen. Let us hear these words from the gospel from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only God." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The living word of our Lord. Church, I need to start this sermon by being open and honest with you. I'm pretty empty today. I don't have much in my spiritual tank. I've had the sorrowful but honorable privilege to journey with a family this week who lost their infant child. Performed the ceremony at the graveside yesterday and put all the energy that I had into comforting that family. So I come today spiritually empty, filled with grief, filled with questions and doubts. When we see tragedy of such magnitude, it leads me to wonder about this God that I love so much and God's providence in our world. So I come empty and questioning. But I bet I'm not the only person in this sanctuary today who has questions, who has doubts, who at times has moments of spiritual emptiness. Perhaps some of you have had weeks like mine in the past, or are going through weeks like that still today, when we feel just empty. We know the pain of physical emptiness. It's after a good, long, hard workout, and you've got the feeling of pure exhaustion, or maybe after a really long day at work, and you come home and all you can do is take a nap for a few hours to recover. That's physical emptiness. Maybe you know the pain of emotional emptiness as well. For me, it's always when I've been engaged with a large group of people for a period of time, and I just have no more emotion to be in relationship with, and I get angry and even more snarky and difficult to be around. Maybe you, like me, have that kind of experience, or maybe there are other things that trigger for you emotional emptiness. But then there's this whole other level of emptiness that we can feel. This spiritual emptiness. This time in our life when we feel void of God's providence, where we feel God is absent from our suffering and our pain. When we begin to slip into questions and doubts of our faith, that spiritual emptiness. Lent is a season where we are called to confront those places of emptiness in our souls and work to strengthen our relationship with God so that we can find hope again and be filled with the Holy Spirit and with love. Jesus went into the desert, it says in the scripture, to be tested by the devil. This is a particularly odd piece of scripture. It's a moment in this story of Jesus that seems a little bit out of place with the rest of the stories of Jesus. And one scholar offers an opinion about this and says, this is because this is not a moment of historical accuracy in the life of Jesus. It was never intended to be a historical account of a battle between Jesus and a personified evil known as the devil. One scholar calls it I got distracted by that devil, Paul. Another scholar calls this a piece of fanciful fiction used in the Bible in the rabbinic midrash style to teach us about the character of who Jesus is. Its intent, its purpose in the scripture is holy and sacred and has authority for our understanding of Christ. But perhaps it's a piece of literature that's added there, not to give us historical data, but to teach us about who this Jesus is. You see, it comes right after the story of Christ's baptism. Jesus is baptized and God shows up and says, does anybody remember? God says, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. This is what Jesus says, or this is what God says about Jesus. That's a really big concept for everyone to wrap their head around. And so this story follows as a means to teach us more closely what was meant in those words. So what do we learn about Jesus in this story? We learn that Jesus, like us, experienced emptiness. Jesus went into the desert and he felt the physical emptiness of hunger. Many of us, I bet few of us, have felt the pain of 40 days without food in our stomachs. That is physical emptiness, quite literally. And then Jesus felt the pain of emotional emptiness as he was alone by himself for 40 days with no human contact, depriving him from emotional interaction. And lastly, we can be assured that Jesus felt spiritual emptiness as we see the encounter with this personified evil called the devil. Jesus, in spiritual emptiness, it's when our soul becomes vulnerable to the temptations of the world. It's when our doubt becomes powerful and palpable to the point where we begin to wander off and begin to separate ourselves further and further from the love of God. That's the work of temptation. The lesson we learn about evil from this scripture is that evil is a source that pulls us away from God. It's not a personified little cartoon figure. It's within us. It's a part of us. It beckons us to a place that is absent from God. We learn that Jesus has that propensity for temptation within himself. It teaches us that Jesus, in his fully humanness, experiences the evil of our world, even down to within the fabric of his soul. that Jesus knows what it feels like to be spiritually empty and tempted to walk away from God. But Jesus doesn't walk away from God. It teaches us about the divinity and the power of God within Jesus as Jesus rebukes these temptations, each and every time quoting Scripture and reminding himself of his relationship to the divine and being connected to the Holy Spirit so that he can overcome these temptations and journey into his ministry that begins just after this. The season of Lent invites us to confront those temptations. The season of Lent invites us to empty ourselves that we might find fulfillment in the love of Christ and in the eventual hope of resurrection. We might have come today empty, but today we will leave filled with the gift of Holy Communion, filled with the power of God's love, with the hope that Easter is coming. We acknowledge that we are a people in need of a change, that we need to exercise our spiritual lives so that when we too find those moments of temptation, we will respond by drawing closer to God instead of running from God. Lady Gaga has a song that I think speaks to this pretty powerfully today. Do you know Lady Gaga besides me? Just checking. If not, that's Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is a pop singer, and she sings this song called A Million Reasons. Has anybody heard the song? A Million Reasons says, there's a million reasons for me to leave the show. And she cries out for just one reason to stay. It's not a song about her show business life. It's not a song about her secular life. Lady Gaga is a profound Christian, believe it or not. And this is a song about her spiritual emptiness. There are a million reasons for us not to work on our spiritual lives. It's not very fun. Sometimes it's like watching paint dry. There are other things we could do, like watch football on Sunday morning, than come to church. There are other places we could be than at the church potluck on Thursday nights. There's so much more in our lives that draws us away from connecting with our fellow people of faith and with our relationship to God. There's a million reasons. But as Lady Gaga reminds us, there's one reason that we stay connected. She sings out that she, in her final verse of the song, that she gets on her knees and prays, and God answers with the power of hope. We find that hope in the resurrection story. We find that hope on Easter morning after we've journeyed through this long, emptying experience we call Lent. We find it on Easter morning, when the tomb is empty and the resurrection is made real in our lives. In a few moments, I'm going to invite you to come to the table and to feel the power of resurrection. May we come to this table emptied, seeking fulfillment, and reassured by the love and the power of God. Amen.